In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as you can see in this scripture lesson, there was really no rest for the weary. Jesus had just gotten off the boat, traveling across the sea, when an official of the synagogue marched right up to him. We even learned the name of the man because he was an important man. His name was Jairus. This man of some prestige begs Jesus to come and lay hands in order to heal his daughter. She was desperately ill, and Jairus has faith in Christ to heal. Jairus was dumbfounded that Jesus had apparently arrived on the boat just in time. "My little daughter is dying," he said. Some of you can imagine the pain of a father who needs to say that, because some of you have lived through the pain of that message. All we are told is that Jesus went with him. There would be no cruise ship deck chair for him, no front porch swing after a tiring trip. Jesus went with him. But then the strangest thing happens. A woman sneaked up on Jesus, and this trip to see a dying daughter of an important man was suddenly interrupted by an anonymous woman. Not only was she unimportant, but according to the custom of the day, she was unclean. So this day, she turned into a stalker of Jesus, hoping only to touch the hem of his garment. Her faith was so great, and she was so desperate, that she felt that touching the threads of Jesus' cloak would be enough, and so she parked herself along the way. For 12 years, she struggled with her illness, and you could certainly imagine her frustration. She had a bleeding uterus. It would not stop. She probably went from doctor to doctor, from healer to healer, in order to seek relief. You know what it's like to just get a second opinion, but how many opinions do you suppose she tried to get in order to be healed? The only consequence was a lot of money was spent with no result. She couldn't seem to lay her burden down. It left her broke, weak, anemic, pale, and so very tired. It would be one thing if it were just the illness, but there was so much more. An issue of blood like hers left her a social outcast. Everyone suspected and imagined, oh, it must have been some sexual sin that left her in such a condition. She is unclean by Jewish law. In our day, this meant that she would not be allowed to come to church. You couldn't sit near her, for if she happened to touch you, you would have to bathe immediately and launder your clothing. She was walking pollution and carried the shame along with her horrid social stigma. Oh, we are so much more enlightened, aren't we? We would never shun anyone like that, would we? Ha! If you believe that, you've never been in a middle school or high school lunchroom, or you've never seen an office gossip circle in action. No one was hanging out with her. She no longer dreamed of getting married, of combing the hair of a daughter, or wiping the dirty face of a son, or of bounding grandbabies on her knee, of being loved and taken care of in her old age. No, her suffering has shattered all of her dreams. They have been swept up in little piles to be carried out in a dustpan to the morning trash. That is what this woman brought with her as she crowded her way near the pathway and crouched as Jesus walked toward her. Jesus had come with a reputation. Here was a physician who charged no fee. Here was one who asked for nothing in return. He had success for other incurables. Why not her? A boy with seizures, a man with demonic possession, a quadriplegic, a leper. Yes, Jesus had a reputation. And yet he was on his way to the home of Jairus. His tired frame was being jostled by those who pressed up against him. Shoulders bumped, elbows touched, the eager, the curious, the desperate. An important man named Jairus, and then this desperate, unimportant woman with no name. She pushed her hand through a seam in the crowd and grasped the corner of his robe. And for a fleeting moment, she tugged in faith, and Jesus was immediately brought up short. On our recent trip to the Holy Land at a place called the Encounter Chapel, In the Galilean seaside town called Magdala, an artist named Daniel Cariola was commissioned to paint this moment, the moment when the woman reached out, the moment when Jesus stopped. "Who touched me?" He was pulled back, not by the grasp of her hand on his robe, but by the grasp of her faith. "Who touched me?" Power had left him to surge into this bleeding woman. "Who touched me?" She wanted to remain unnoticed and anonymous, but finally, his eyes met hers, and he knew. He knew, and she fell at his feet. Through her tears and the windows of her eyes, Jesus could see the whole sad story of the last 12 years. The illness, the loneliness, the isolation, the desperation. Only God could know how much she suffered. Face to face, physician and patient. Do you remember what he called her? Daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. He won't just allow her to slip away. Because in that moment, she is more important than anyone else in the world. And Jesus addresses her, daughter. And new life was given to her. But wait, while Jesus is chatting with this unclean, insignificant woman, there is a man pacing impatiently. Jairus must have been like a man in a hurry, standing in a long line at the bank. While the other line was moving along quickly, there he stood. "Come on, Jesus, stop dawdling. I was here first. You were on your way to my house." And as they were about to restart the journey, the worst news a father can hear arrives. There was no easy way to say it, so the messenger just blurted it out. "Your daughter is dead." Sadly, there are some here who have heard that news of a daughter or a son, or you know someone who has. Not every touch heals. The answers are not available to every doctor. The miracle doesn't occur in every situation. Your daughter is dead. And Jairus' faith must have dropped like a load of bricks. Timothy George writes of Martin Luther at one of the lowest points in Luther's life. His beloved daughter, Magdalena, barely 14 years of age, was stricken with the plague. Luther was brokenhearted as he knelt beside her bed and begged God to release her from her pain. And when she died, and carpenters were nailing down the lid of her coffin, Luther screamed out, "Hammer away! On doomsday, she will rise again." Jairus wasn't yet in the same position as Luther. But the news cut like a knife. It was all over. The rabbi was too late. Even if he were on time, she probably was too far gone. But it was as though Jesus was ignoring the messenger. "Don't be afraid," he said, "only believe." How many times must we hear Jesus tell us not to fear? How often must we read, "Fear not," in Scripture, before we understand the crippling power that fear can take in our lives? And Jesus walked on to the house with Peter, James, and John. The father must have been wondering, "What the heck is going on here? Daughter dead, and I'm asked to put my feelings aside? This is unbelievable." And when they arrived, the mourning had already started. The woman had begun to wail, so common to the funerals of the Middle East. The men had begun to rend their clothes. They beat their breasts and tore at their hair. Into that scene, Jesus walked, saying the most outrageous thing. "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him. These people, after all, had mourned the dead before. Dead is dead, and this girl was definitely dead. And the father must have been even more bewildered. Who is this guy? So Jesus brought it all to a close. He took the mother and father, still holding on by a thread of faith, along with the three disciples who were with him. When they went into the room, he took the girl's hand and uttered the Aramaic words, "Talitha kumi." Isn't that a beautiful phrase to say? "Little girl, get up. Talitha kumi." When you wake up your little girl tomorrow, pray, Talitha Kumi. And the 12-year-old rose up and began to walk around the room. Now, there are times when I especially wish I had been near to Jesus in a special moment like that in time. This is one of them. How many jaws must have dropped when the little girl walked out of the room into the midst of mourners? My jaw still drops at the wonder of it all. And when Jesus gave strict orders, don't tell anyone about this. And by the way, give the poor child something to eat. She is hungry. One of the things that amazes us about Jesus is that wherever Jesus went, situations seemed to change. Lives were transformed. When Jesus came, fishermen left their nets. Critics trying to trap him left shaking their heads. Storms were stilled. Hungry people were fed. Demons were thrown out of their human homes. A chronically ill woman is healed. A dead girl now raised to life. Wherever Jesus went, things changed, and for the better. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be said? I pray that can be said of the people of this church, of you and of me. Wherever we go, things are made better, transformed for the good. We are carriers of Jesus. What is behind it all? What's the key that accesses the power of Jesus? Today, in the case of the woman with the chronic issue of blood, and in the case of this family with a daughter sick to death, we see that the key to accessing the power of Jesus is faith. Faith. And the faith that is directed toward Jesus unlocks the very power of God. The faith that is directed toward Jesus is given the power to overcome obstacles. For the woman, there were the obstacles of fear and shame which she needed to overcome just to get close to Jesus. For the father, it was the obstacle of the unbelievable that Jesus could overcome the irreversible verdict that the girl was dead, and that Jesus could be trusted in spite of all evidence to the contrary. Finally, that is what faith is. That is all faith is. Trusting God to do what God has promised to do. Faith takes action. Faith takes the next step, the next faithful step. We are drawing ever nearer to the end of the season of Lent. As we arrive at Holy Week, we will again emerge with the greatest statement of faith we can know. God has conquered death in the resurrection, and by faith, we will too. Is there any better hope for these troubled days? Amen and amen.